الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباد الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يتق الله يجعل له من أمره يسرا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتقوا الله حيث ما كنت وأدبي السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بالخلق الحسن صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders, we had been discussing this order of taqwa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so constantly repeated in the Holy Quran. Over and over again we find, as we mentioned, up to about 46 times this order is given in the Quran, اتقوا الله فاتقوا الله, that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, adopt taqwa. We'll also mention some definitions of taqwa given by the mashayikh. One definition that is mentioned by one leading alim is that the awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be so much in a person that it prompts him to turn away and abandon the most pressing demands of his base self. From his nafs, from the side of his nafs, there are promptings, there are temptations, there are inclinations from the side of his nafs, and this person wards that off, abandons those demands of his nafs because of the awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness and grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overpowers his heart to such an extent that on the one hand is the prompting of the nafs, the temptation of the environment, and on the other hand is the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This, the awe of it is so much that he, no matter how pressing the demand of the nafs is, this person abandons that and saves himself from sin, saves himself from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We had also mentioned the definition of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, how he had defined it so easily, that a person is walking on a thorny path and on both sides there are thorns, and how a person is cautious, takes all the precautions to save himself. Similarly, in this dunya, in this travel and this journey of this worldly life, this earthly life, a person is ever conscious of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the thorns of sin, the thorns of temptation, the thorns of disobedience that he is surrounded by every day in his daily life. He very cautiously treads this path and saves himself from sin. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu had mentioned, we were busy mentioning his definition. First part he mentioned is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-khawfu bil-jaleel, to establish the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such an extent that a person saves himself from sin. It spurs him and it makes easy for him, it facilitates carrying out of good actions and it saves him from evil actions. No matter where he is, how remote the place may be, or how isolated the person is, but he is ever conscious of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of my actions. And this saves him from sin. Famous incident of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu moving in the night and looking at the subjects and looking for the welfare of his subjects, for the poor, the grief-stricken, etc. And at that time when he hears the voices of two women speaking, one says that add water into the milk. Add water into the milk, and so that we can get more for the we can increase the milk and earn more money. The other says, no, the Amirul Mu'mineen, the commander of the believers, has prevented us from doing so. He has stopped us from doing this. The first woman says that he is not here to see. He is not here to see. And that woman says that his Lord is here. The Lord of the commander of Allah of the Mu'mineen, Umar radiallahu anhu, is here. He is watching us and he is aware of our actions. He is conscious of what I will do now. Though Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is not here, but the Lord of Umar radiallahu anhu is here. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu overhears this and is mentioned that thereafter he proposes for this woman in marriage for his son. And out of this union is born Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar, the Khalifa of Umar radiallahu anhu, is born thereafter. From this union we find that person is born that established justice in the face of this earth. Established justice on the face of this earth. We find this is from this pure union when this woman had this consciousness of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Consciousness. Umar bin Abdul Aziz is born and he had ruled, we know, the justice is exemplary of his time. He was born out of this union. That woman that had this taqwa and piety and consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another incident of Umar radiallahu anhu, when he's walking in the desert and when he becomes hungry and his provisions are exhausted, he approaches his shepherd and asks him for some milk from the goats. This person tells him that this does not belong to me, belongs to the owner. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu tells him, I'll show you something that will be very profitable for you and for me. You will give it to me, I will buy it from you, and I will get this animal and this goat, and you can conceal and this fact and tell the owner that one of the wolves had come and he had devoured it. So you will also benefit and I will also benefit. Tells him, Ain Allah, where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is conscious of what I am doing here. How will I be able to befool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I will be able to mention this lie to the owner, but how will I get away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How will I fare before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How will I fare in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So here we find far away, away in the jungles, but ever conscious of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ever conscious of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an act of taqwa, that a person at all times is mindful and fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second quality, as Ali radiallahu anhu mentions, is this, that he says that a person, al-amalu bil tanzeel, a person should carry out, fulfill the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are mentioned in the Quran. At all times, the person should be mindful of his duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all the orders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the Holy Quran, a person should be ever conscious about it, whether it is his business and trade, whether it is interrelationship with other people, whether it is his economics, whether it is his politics, whatever aspect of life it is, the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are fulfilled wherever a person is. He acts upon the Holy Quran and the orders of the Holy Quran. The injunctions of the Holy Quran are upheld under all circumstances and in all places. This is also part of a person's taqwa. Not that only he reads his salat, is over conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only in the masjid and only regarding his ibadat. No, all his actions, whether it is his muasharat, it is his social life, whether it is economic life, whether it is dealing, interacting with the people around him, Muslims or non-Muslims, his clients, etc., or his merchants, or whether it is his wife and children, whether it is his neighbors and friends, etc., he does so in the manner that is prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the manner that is demonstrated by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the second component and the second part of taqwa, according to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Thirdly, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu mentions that al-qana'atu bil-qaleel, that the person is contented with a little bit of the dunya he gets, and he is fully contented. And this is also part of taqwa and piety. Not that a person is earning from the morning till the evening and he breaks all the limitations and boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to earn himself a halal living. He does everything that is haram and he says, I am earning a halal living. All the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are flouted. All the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are broken, and in pursuit of halal earnings. This is not proper, but a person, taqwa demands that a person should be content with a little bit. And that will be what? That will be when a person is conscious of this dunya, that the object of the dunya is not to accumulate and amass wealth, not to go on continuing earning and earning and earning. The object of the dunya is to earn the akhirat. The object of the wealth is also to earn the akhirat. وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. Whatever resources Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, then we should earn with it the hereafter. This is the object, not that we go on hoarding and we go on earning and earning and amassing wealth. Person does not know how much wealth he has, and he does not know the very object of his earning. No, he is contented with a little bit. Little bit is given to him, he is contented. And this will come when we look at those people. The hadith, we understand that if you see somebody that has given excellence over us as far as wealth is concerned, as far as his looks, etc., are concerned, as far as other worldly resources are concerned, فَلْيَنْزُرْ إِلَىٰ مَنْ هُوَ أَسْفَلَ مِنْهُ. Then the way to gain contentment is not to vie with him, not to say that he has more than me, not to go and amass wealth like him, not to try buy a house, a palatial home like him, and a car like him. No, فَلْيَنْزُرْ إِلَىٰ مَنْ هُوَ أَسْفَلَ مِنْهُ. Then a person should look at those people that are below him, those people that are poorer than him, those people that have less sustenance and less means than him. Then what will happen? Then this will result in contentment. This will result in a person being content and grateful for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. But on the contrary, what we see currently is a person keeps on vying and vying with others before him. And with the result, that Despite amassing this great amount of wealth, we find a person is still is unsatisfied. He is not contented. He has a great amount of wealth, but yet he is not contented. Why? Because he is comparing himself with that person that has been given more, that person that has more wealth than him. And he continues vying with him and vying with him and vying with him. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one hadith had mentioned, words to this effect, that it is not poverty that I fear. I fear that the world will open up to you. All the worldly wealth will come, and you will begin to compete and vie with each other. It will destroy you like it had destroyed the people before you. When a person begins, makes the object of his life, when he has this great, deep obsession with wealth, and he just wants to earn wealth upon wealth, and he is not contented, then what we find, he shows total disregard to his deeny life, shows total disregard to the orders of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in pursuit of wealth, we find he does not even reach his object, and he leaves this dunya. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that this mouth will never be filled. Never be filled. When a person has one value of gold, he will wish for another, and thereafter nothing will fulfill his belly, nothing will fulfill his mouth, illa turab, except the sand of the grave. Except the sand of the grave, this is the only thing that will fill up his belly and fill up his mouth. He will not have contentment and he will not have peace. But a person that is content, we find that person has peace within himself. He loves the life of a person that has a life of contentment, is absolutely happy with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him this amount of wealth, and he's fulfilling his needs and desires, and he does not stretch his feet more than the chadar that he has been given. Famous saying in Urdu, that a person should not stretch his feet more than the chadar that he has, more than the shawl that he has. In other words, his expenses do not exceed his income. This has become very common in our society because of the credit system, because of the credit cards, because of the credit system, that a person can buy anything that he wishes to, he will pay for it one day. And with the result, what happens? Then he gets caught up in this rigmarole, and he gets caught up in this rat race, and he's earning to live, and he's living to earn, and this continues to the right up to the last day. So here we find that Ali radiallahu anhu cautions us that taqwa, one of the demands of taqwa, one of the components of taqwa is this, that al-radha bil-qaleel, al-qana'atu bil-qaleel, that the person is contented with whatever little he is given, he is contented. That is why the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also was this, Allahumma qanni'ni mimma razaqtani wa barikli fi. O Allah, give me contentment in that which you have given me as sustenance and provision, wa barikli fi, and grant me barakat and blessings in the little that you have given me. And we find many a people who do not earn in the thousands, but you find that they are completely contented and there is absolute barakat in their lives. Otherwise, all their needs are fulfilled. All their needs are fulfilled in that little that they earn. And all the requirements are fulfilled in that little that they earn. And on the other hand, we find when there is no blessings in the wealth, then a person accumulates and accumulates, and he is not even concerned sometimes about halal and haram. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam predicted there will come a time that people will begin to accumulate wealth, and they will not be concerned whether this wealth is from halal sources or is from haram sources. And when wealth is earned in that manner, then where do we expect the barakat and blessings in that wealth? Then we find calamity upon calamity, this mishap, this misfortune, this calamity that takes place, and we find that all that wealth, that large amount of wealth that the person had earned, does not fulfill his basic needs also. And we find this currently in our lives. Look at the lives of our forefathers. One person earning and 12 people are looked after, their needs are looked after. Today we find two people earning and the needs of two people are not fulfilled. There is no barakat left there. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's dua was, Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani wa barikli fi. O Allah, grant me contentment in what you have given me, wa barikli fi. And O Allah, bless me, give me blessings and barakat in this. So that what happens? Little bit of earning, but a person's needs are fulfilled. And fourthly, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu says, what isti'adadu lirraheel. One component of taqwa is this, that a person makes preparations to leave this world. Person makes preparations to leave this world. Otherwise, his actions are all focused. His focus is towards the akhirah. All his actions are weighed before he carries them out. Will this be beneficial for me in the hereafter or not? In this manner, he makes preparations for the hereafter. Preparations for the hereafter are made in the form of amal, in the form of following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the form of obedience, in the form of proper preparations for the things that will require in the hereafter. This is also a part of taqwa and piety. Not that a person accumulates and lives his life in such a manner that he seems that he'll never be leaving this dunya. Everything, all investments, all interests, and everything that comes to his mind is all focused towards the dunya, and everything is for the dunya, only for this worldly life. No, he makes preparations for the hereafter. He's conscious that I'll be leaving the here, I'll be leaving this dunya, I will be getting there. And slowly, slowly he knows, a person knows that he's moving every single day. We are moving towards the akhirat, whether we know it or not, whether we are aware of it or not, whether we realize or not. But every day, every second and every moment takes us closer and closer and closer to the akhirat and closer to the qabr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us also in the dunya, every day we hear of people passing away, and there are so many signs every day. Reminders come to us also in the form of sickness, in other forms that remind us that we are also to leave this dunya. Our near and dear ones leave us. Little people come in and leave this dunya. Every day we are reminded that we are going to be leaving this dunya. So, wal isti'adadu lirrahil, taqwa demands, the fourth component of taqwa is this, that a person makes preparations to leave this dunya. And this is something that is inevitable. This is such a reality that every person realizes this reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take us with iman. This should be the concern of every mu'min, that al-ibratu bil-khawatim, the real consequences are with that action that the person will do finally in this dunya. How many are there that live a life of disobedience, but in the end they are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they leave this dunya with iman. This should be our concern. This should be our daily dua. That, oh Allah, take us from this dunya in such a state that you are pleased with us and we have perfect iman in our hearts. And this is very simple. A person should lead an imani life. Lead a life, it comes in the hadith, that you will pass away like the way you live, and you will be resurrected like the way you pass away. The way you live this dunya, you live the life of a mu'min, live the life of a person that's fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will pass away in the manner that you live, and you will be resurrected in the manner that you pass away. Inshallah, you pass away upon iman, you will be resurrected upon iman. So this should be also, this is also a part of taqwa, according to Ali radiallahu anhu, that a person makes due preparations to leave this dunya. And as I mentioned, this is inevitable, this is a fact, this is something that nobody can deny, nobody can reject. And this is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every living thing, kullu man alayha fan, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut, everything that will come into this dunya will perish and will leave this dunya. And here, this is irrespective of a person's status. Imagine the great Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Huzur Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yet this is the order and qanun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we all have to leave this dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us with iman, take us in a manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely pleased with us. And we should be conscious about this. That is why the mashayikh mentioned that one of the du'as, the daily du'as of a mu'min should be, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmah innaka antal wahhab, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has taught us to plea in his court, to supplicate in his court with this du'a, that, oh Allah, do not turn my heart away after you have guided me. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً, and O Allah, grant me special mercy. And what is meant by this mercy? الْإِسْتِقَامَةُ عَلَى الدِّينِ. What is meant by mercy is الْإِسْتِقَامَةُ عَلَى الدِّينِ, that the person remains steadfast upon his deen. And a person leaves this dunya with husn khatima and leaves this dunya with iman. This is what is meant here. That is why it's mentioned that we should read this dua every day after every salat, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us away upon iman. And a person should be conscious about this every day, that I'm going towards the akhirat. Some ulama mentioned so nicely that there was a time and period when people used to be so conscious about the hereafter. They used to be facing the akhirat, conscious that we are moving towards the akhirat. And they used to be aware, they used to say that after a few days I will not be here in the dunya, I will go away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to show them the signs of them leaving the dunya. Today, unfortunately, it's mentioned that a person is facing the qabr, is facing the dunya and going towards the qabr. With the result, we find suddenly a person leaves this dunya, not even conscious, his matters are not even put right. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we lead a life in preparation of the akhirah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the signs so that before we leave this dunya, we are ever conscious that now the time has come for us to leave this dunya. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us away in a state of iman. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu mentions that these are the four signs of a person that he has taqwa, and he should have these four components within him: the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, acting upon in compliance, total obedience to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as is mentioned in the Quran. And a person should be absolutely contented with the little that Allah ta'ala gives him, and should make full preparation for the year after. Further, if you look into the Quran, maybe there is no other order that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned so much, and maybe there isn't such rewards that are equal to those rewards that Allah ta'ala mentions here in the Quran regarding the muttaqeen and regarding the pious. Not only in the hereafter are there lofty status for them, but even in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions for them there are great promises of great rewards and great status and great incentives that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran for those people that adopt this piety. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith they mentions to us here that this piety is not restrictive in the sense that you're only pious when you're sitting in the masjid, you're only pious when you're sitting amongst your friends, you're only pious when you're sitting with the pious people. No, ittaqillah haythu ma kunt, wherever you may be, whichever part of the dunya, whatever place you may be, whatever condition you may be, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be conscious of the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this also is not only restricted to place, but to time as well. Not only in the month of Ramadan, and a pious day, and a big night, or a big day, a person becomes absolutely conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, whatever place a person may be, whatever time it may be, a person has to be conscious of our taqwa, and has to adopt this taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me, and all of us, the guidance and tawfiq, to uphold this order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.